Isn't God good? So how were you? How did your Christmas go? Hey, good. Well, I'm excited because this morning I've got a word for you, and please don't be offended if you don't get any Bible verses. All right? But you'll get plenty of Bible, but you won't get Bible verses this morning because I really believe it, and it's great to hear from Steve and Jan and what they're doing, because this is what God's got in store for each and every one of us. Not going to places like that, but there's something that I want you to leave this place with this morning, and you'll know what you have to leave with. And hey, the Band of Brothers. Good to see the Band of Brothers in the house this morning. Hey. These guys too. It's good to have you in the house. I mean, you're going to leave with this word. I'm not going to tell you what the word is because then you'll all go home. But let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray this morning that each heart, mind and soul, Lord, will be just triggered by the Holy Spirit. Lord, that they will enter into 2020 with that word that you're going to release on them today. I just pray this in Jesus' mighty name. We all said? Amen. Rightio. Well, I do hope you had a wonderful Wednesday and had a nice time celebrating the birth of our Saviour, Lord, and Jesus Christ. Another Christmas has passed and yet another year is coming. And to those who want to know, there's 362 days to Christmas. Okay, so are you excited? All right, too soon, sorry. Too soon. And normally this time of year, people tend to sit back and reflect on the year that has just gone, evaluate it and see if it measured up to their expectations. We check our list to see if we've accomplished all the goals and set ourselves and look at our lives to see if we've changed, see if we've developed, see if we've progressed as people. Or better yet, have we transformed any further in our growth and understanding of God? Not only is it a time to reflect, but it's a time to project as well. And it's a time to plan for the future. Now is the time to set goals and make lists and set the bar, as it were. It's an exciting time for some. And for some others, this can be a very scary or a hard thing. I mean, I'll put my hand up. Years ago when Sally used to go, we need to have a family meeting. Whenever she says we need to have a family meeting, I get scared. And I'll say, oh, I've got a meeting tonight, you know, and another meeting after that, and another meeting. But when she used to say, no, we need a plan for next year, and we need a plan for our home, I used to get all tense. I mean, I can do it for work, but for home, there's something in me. And so I empathize with people in this room that for planning, some people, they find it hard to plan. But what I found a secret. I found a secret I'm going to share with you right now. That once when I was doing an exam, one of the elders of my old church came to me and said, Kerry, or it was an assignment, he said, look, are you having difficulty with your assignments? And I said, yes, because I suffered dyslexia. So when I was a read, I can't really put everything together and I forget and everything. He says, well, what I want you to do, just pray. Pray for 10 minutes before you do your assignment. So I went home thinking, oh, yeah, all right, yeah, okay. So I prayed to God for 10 minutes. And you know what? I finished that assignment in 2 hours, which usually take me 2 days. I finished it. So ever since then, ever since I've got a plan or do something, I pray to God. I seek first the kingdom of God. Okay? I don't know why I shared that with you, but you've learned something. You know, it's an exciting time for some, and it can be very scary for some others. Next week isn't just a new week. It's a start of a whole new year and a decade. It's a new beginning. You know, some of us are in our 80s, some of us are in our teens, but we measure by decades, don't we? So, oh, I remember that decade. That was a great decade. Or, gee, that was a tough decade. So throughout the year, we say things like, oh, I'm going to diet tomorrow. And I'm glad Wayne Manoni is going to be bringing a word of that next week. I won't be here. Whew. But, you know, our staff have all rallied around, and we're going to, and I'll declare it today, our staff, we're going to lose excess of 200 kilos between all of us. I'll probably find it, but we're going to... That's what we said. Yeah, we're going to have a year of health, and so it's going to be good. So you can pray for me for that. Don't pray for the others. I want to win. All right? No, pray for the other ones. And some of them say, oh, look, we'll start drinking less coffee tomorrow. I'll do everything tomorrow. But next week is just more than another tomorrow. It's another year. Everything changes then. People even write lists, things to do in 2020. You know, stop smoking. You know, cut down on alcohol. You know, tobacco smoking remains the leading preventable cause of death and disease in Australia. That's 15,500 people die each year. That's every 33 minutes someone is dying because of smoking. Alcohol, 6,000 people die a year through alcohol disease. That's one person every 90 minutes. You go to the gym. You know, some part right on the list, I want to go to the gym 4 times a week, every week. Be careful. If you're like me and start to go to the gym and start entering, just take it easy. Start walking in the mornings. You know, 15-minute walk 5 days a week will reduce diseases by 13%. If you walk 30 minutes in the morning, it will reduce diseases 26%. And the diseases linked to this inactivity are diabetes, bowel and uterine cancer, dementia, breast cancer, coronary heart disease, and stroke. So you can percentage-wise, be very healthy just by 15 to 30 minutes of walking a day. And you could, with these new things, you can put in your ears and stuff like that and listen to a sermon and go for 30 minutes or a Bible on app or something and just do 30 minutes and you get the best of both worlds. You get the word and you're getting fit. Some cut out caffeine most widely. You know, the caffeine is the most, and I'm sorry for you coffee drinkers. I'm a coffee drinker. I love my coffee. But I just found out this morning as I was working on this, I said cut out caffeine, the most widely used drug in the world. More than 85% of women and children and men, sorry, adults and children, drink it. And did you know that methamphetamines, you know, the drug methamphetamines, well, that's a sister drug to coffee. So you're all meth addicts. How's that? So it's a methylxanthine. That's what coffee is, apart from the meth family. Others listed. Feeling good? I just had a coffee this morning, so I'm just bouncing around. No, that's all right. Others work harder, pay less, play about less. Learn to play a musical instrument. That's good. Learn a new language. Visit my parents often. Wow. Ring my parents often. Wow. Ring my kids more often. Wow, wow. And those three things are about relationships. And God's about relationships. God's children, who you guys are all about relationships. Visit one least foreign country. Well, you guys have done 2 already, so well done. Help those who are worse off than myself. Give more to charity. Be nicer to people. But this year's a little different. Not only is it the end of another year, but it's an end of a decade and it's end of 10 years. Come Wednesday, we will be starting a brand new one. A brand new decade. And now when people reflect on it, we usually reflect on the year that's gone, but I want you to reflect on the past 10 years. Because when we look at 10 years, a lot of things happen. And a lot of things can happen in the next 10 years. Some people might have been broke or gone into receivership or lost a business. But in 10 years, you can recoup all that. You might have lost a marriage and you might be feeling really bad at this time. You know, God can do immeasurably more in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years, and immeasurably more, is what Pastor Craig was talking about, within 10 years. And while we reflect on the last 10 years, we also look ahead to the next 10 years and dream about where we will be and what we'd have accomplished by then. I don't know about your year, how it began or how it finished. I don't know if you met your targets or you failed miserably. I don't know if the year turned out the way you expected or it went a bit pear-shaped. I don't know whether you're looking forward to a new year or a new decade or if you're dreading what is going to happen. I don't know what targets or goals, if any, that you've set for yourselves or what you're expecting. But whether your year ended on a high or a low, if you're setting goals or none at all, if you expect good things or bad as we leave this year and start a new one, in everything, expect God. Those last two words I want you to leave with today. Expect God. Before we go any further, I just want to make it clear that I'm talking to people that have set their eyes on Jesus Christ. I'm talking to the people that have purposed in their heart to seek God in all His glory. I'm talking to the people who have started or are on the verge of beginning their journey down the road to maturity in Jesus Christ. Because it is you, the people, who are led by the Spirit and not the flesh. Okay? You're not led by the flesh anymore. You're led by the Spirit. It is you people, the Bible says, are children of God. Each and every one of you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, is a child of God. It is you who are just. The righteous and the Word of God tells us that just shall live by faith. Sorry, if you who are just, the righteous, and the Word of God tells us that the just shall live by faith, and living by faith means expecting God. Abraham. Who knows Abraham? Do you? You know Abraham, do you? Well, okay. There's some old people in here. But anyway, it's a trick question. Abraham was just an ordinary man. He was. There was nothing more special about him than any other men around him. Nothing at all. There was nothing more special about Abraham than you and me. He had a father and he had brothers. He had a wife and sister-in-laws. And we're told he was born into an idolatrous family. That was in Joshua chapter 22, verse 2. So I don't know how much he knew of God or his faithfulness and power, if he had any knowledge at all. He certainly wasn't a man of faith. Wasn't. But the day came when God called him to leave. And he said, leave your country and your people and your father's household and go into the land and I will show you. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you. And guess what? Abraham did. He left and he went expecting God. He didn't know where he was going, didn't know how he was going to get there or why he was going there or what he was going to do. But he packed up his things, gathered his family together and he went off not knowing but expecting God. Moses, we're told, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoying passing pleasures of sin. He regarded the disgrace for the sake of God as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. Why? Because he expected God. Whether in the palace of the Pharaoh or the wilderness of Midian, in everything and for everything, Moses expected God. Noah. We all know Noah. Noah, in the face of tremendous ridicule, spent his life doing the strangest thing a man had ever done up to that time, building a huge boat miles away from the sea and warning people about the great flood. And he did it. He endured the ridicule and hardship for all those years because he expected God. Joshua and Caleb, they spent 10 years, they spent with 10 other spies. They went into the promised land and spy out the land. And they, along with the other 10 others, saw all the problems in front of them. They saw all the difficulties there. They saw the fortified city and the giants who lived in the land. But while the others came back and reported that it was an impossible task, these two, Joshua and Caleb, expected God. Remember Caleb saying, "Let's go immediately and take possession of the land. Don't be afraid. God is with us." They expected God. Rahab in Jericho helped the spies of Israel escape from the city on the condition that when the city fell, she and her family would be spared. And she did all this because she expected God. Elijah, in the midst of the famine, left the security of his home to go back to a brook to be fed by animals. He stood up on Mount Carmel and challenged the prophets of Baal and the entire nation because he expected God. Daniel, when the decree went out not to pray for 30 days, he continued to pray and went down to the lion's den with peace in his heart because he expected God. His three friends wouldn't worship the golden image commanded by the king, and they also went down to the fiery furnace gladly. Why? Because they expected God. Paul traveled around the world preaching the gospel, suffering shipwrecks, beatings, stonings, imprisonment. Why? Because he expected God. Jonah, when called to Nineveh to preach repentance and warn of an upcoming judgment, ran away from his call. Why? Because he expected God. Then you have people like Hudson Taylor, William Carey, C.T. Studd, Tim and Claudia Talia, Steve and Jan Warren, James and Nat Bonilak, David Bonanno, Pat Davey, Godfrey Tinker in the Uganda, and pastors and missionaries who gave their lives to service in Christ. Men who could say things like, I have but one candle of life to burn, and I would rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than in a land flooded with light. Another statement is, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And another one, some wish to live within a sound of a chapel bell. I wish to run a rescue mission within a yard of hell. And lastly, Christ wants no nibblers of the possible, but grabblers of the impossible. All these people expected God. These are and were all men and women, who gave up everything, medical doctors, businessmen, and they turned their backs on such security in the West and ventured into the unknown, expecting God. I know Steve and Jan where they're about to go, and I know they wouldn't do that if they weren't expecting God. None of them, not one of them, has been failed by God. If they had, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing now, like everyone else. We wouldn't be here if we had been failed by God. True? Why would you? You're not idiots. You're not stupid. You have not been failed and you will not be failed by God. Be expectant. You know, none of us have been failed. Whether we're facing new beginnings, whether we're facing unknown territory or peoples, whether we're facing death, each of us should stand and live and be moved expecting God, because God doesn't fail. He will never leave us or forsake us. So when we sit down this week and contemplate the start of a new year, start of a new decade, and when we sit with our husbands and wives or family or just even on our own and begin to plan, we begin to make lists and set goals. Do it prayerfully. Seek God. Seek Him first. Fast and pray. As you plan, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Do not worry about the impossible. Don't worry about the opposition. Don't worry about anything. Let us all enter this new year, this new decade, expecting God. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, last year I was expecting God for many things. And you know what? I got most of them. This year again, I'm expecting God for many, many more things. Not worldly things, not material things, but kingdom things that line up with God's desire. More salvations, more baptisms in the house are on top of the list. Healings, deliverance, they're all up the top of the list. And then you've got some coming down, sale of the village units, the new buildings that we're doing. I want to start on this chapel. I want to start on it. I'm praying for that. We must seek the Lord. Can I have the trolley, please? I just want to give you an illustration of a trolley. Do I have one of the young people? Do I have one of the young people? Who can push a trolley? Who can put a young person? Yeah, I mean a younger person. Sally's not here this morning, but I'm getting Sue Allen. I'm getting the look. All right. Sue Allen, would you like to push the trolley for me? No, you wouldn't. Okay. So. Could one of the kids like to push a trolley? I want to show you an illustration. Come on. Okay, I'll push it. Can one of you kids hop on the trolley? Working with children, don't you love it? Okay, look, I'm just going to push this trolley around. But I want to tell you a story. Some of you may know the story, but I want to tell you the story about God. God gave this man one day. He said, start of a new year, start of a new decade. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to collect Joe from the bottom village of the mountain, and I want you to go and get Joe, and I want you to bring up some wood. That is your task for the year. I want you to go get Joe, a man named Joe. Do we have a Joe in the house? Do we have a Joe? We don't. Okay, do we have a David? We have a Craig. So, he goes to the village, and he goes, Craig, please, I've been ordered by the Lord to go up to the top of the mountain to see him to deliver you and some wood. Jump on, please. So, this guy, he took, it's pretty hard with one hand, but anyway, he took him around the village. He took him around the mountain. And he was doing the service of the Lord, like he'd been told to. Don't sit like that. He was pushing, and then all of a sudden he came to another village. He came to another village, and a bloke called Jared stood up, and he said, "Can you please? Where are you going?" And I said, "I'm going up to the mountain. I'm in the service of the Lord. I'm taking Craig and some wood." And he said, "Oh, I too have been called by the Lord." Stay there. "I too have been called by the Lord to take some bricks up to the top of the mountain for the Lord." I said, "Have you really?
Yes,
sir. You're on the same mission." "Well, I tell you what, grab all your bricks and yourself and jump on my trolley."
Oh my God, here we go.
So here we go. So he started off.
The trolley's in trouble.
I'm in trouble.
Oh, you betcha, Sonny. You betcha.
Okay. So anyway, he's pushing, going up the mountain, and so he comes to another village. He comes to another village. He comes to another village. And someone else jumps out. What are you doing, Dorothy?
I'm not going out.
You're not in the service of the Lord? You don't want to be in service of the Lord? Okay, that's fine. Well, you take that up with him. You take that up with the Lord. Ah, I can see someone. Anyway, he goes up to this village and he sees little Finn. Who has other kids. Does any children want to come and have a little ride? Come on. What's your name? Sorry? Noah. Okay, right, Noah. Wow. So young Noah comes out to me and goes, oh, Kerry, what are you doing? I said, I'm in the service of the Lord. And I have got to go up to the top of the mountain to see God to take some wood. Noah says, wood? I've got a heap of animals that I need to take up to the top of the mountain. Can you please help me? No worries, Noah. I'm going to help you take all the animals up to the top of the mountain. So away I go. But I get about a kilometer to the top of the mountain, and I am struggling. I just cannot get to the top. And I stop, and all of a sudden I look up and I see God standing there. And I keep pushing. I'm saying, I'm coming. It's okay, he's not there, but really, I'm just in the story. Okay. So anyway, and I'm pushing and I fall over and I fall in a heap. Stress. I'm smashed. I'm overworked. I've done everything. And God comes down to me. And he says, Kerry, all I asked you to do was sort out some wood and bring it up to me. That's all I asked you to do. You've decided to do all this. I didn't ask you to do all this. Thanks, guys. Whatever you plan this year with your family, write it down. And if you've been praying to God, do those things. Yep, the Holy Spirit can come in and change things during the year. But a lot of burnout from a lot of people are because they take on way too much than they should. And sadly, they think they're doing it all in the name of the Lord. That's why we've got to seek first the kingdom of God before we decide to do anything that we do. And you might say, oh, start out 2020, really good, really strong. But remember, this is a decade we're talking about. And if I've seen people, I'll put my hand up. Last year, I burnt out because I was taking on way too much. And when I inquired of the Lord, he said, I didn't ask you to do all that. So please, as you go into 2020, go in with all the joy of the Lord on you. But be wise. Be wise in what you do. Seek first the kingdom of God and what? And be good morning, church. Welcome to church this morning. Have I got a message for you? Ah, thank you. You didn't like my message? Be expectant. Can I have the music team up, please? Be expectant. You know, we serve an awesome, a mighty God that wants so much for us. But if we start doing things that he hasn't asked us to do, man, look out. because he will move mountains to get you right on the right back path. And sometimes moving those mountains, we can get crushed or whatever. Make sure it's God's mountain that we're climbing up, and make sure God is in right at the end of what we're doing. We want to glorify God. As we've sang this morning, we glorify your name. We glorify you. You know, we just don't stand and sing it. We live it out. We glorify the King. We glorify him. Can we sing that?
That's what we do.
Yeah, that's the plan? Great. Love God, how he works together, all things. So 2020, great vision, 2020 vision. But I'm going away on a couple of weeks holiday now and with my family, and we're going to be sitting down during that time and actually discussing what are we going to do over the next year or in the decade. And my prayer for all of you is that you do the same thing. Don't just live day to day, today by day by day. Plan ahead. Use God's wisdom. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray as we sing this song, as we glorify your name. Lord, I pray we just don't sing it with our head, but Lord, we sing it with our heart and we live it out with our heart. Because, Lord, we just want to glorify you in everything that we do. But in doing that, Lord, we need your help. We need your guidance. We need your wisdom. We need your boldness. We need your encouragement from other brothers and sisters, from other children of God. And, Lord, I just pray, Lord, let us as children of God help and encourage each other in 2020. Lord, we know we're all on a different journey. We're all doing different things for the Lord, for you. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, let us help one another. Lord, I thank you for your church here at Hillside. I thank you, Lord, as we've already thanked them, for the generosity of the people here at Hillside. Lord, it's not my church. It's not anyone. It's your church. And this is all of ours here. We just thank you, Lord, for the privilege and honor it is to serve you. So, Lord, I pray a blessing as we step out of 2019, as we step out of an old decade and we enter in to a new decade. Lord, I pray an almighty blessing upon each household here represented this morning. May we see with your eyes, may we hear with your ears, and may we go out and shout with your heart. Just pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Why don't we sing?